With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. I'm here with Joey Knight, and we are wrapping up the Bucks' win 30-17 over the Atlanta Falcons at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Joey, this is a game I expected the Bucks to win, and win probably by a score like this, but it didn't unfold that way in as much as it was a close game at halftime because of a mistake we'll talk about with Tom Brady. The interesting thing to me tonight was that the Bucks put the ball in the air as much as they did. They've been a team that's been relying on Leonard Fournette running the football, throwing him the football. And in this game, Tom Brady launched it 51 times, and he passed for 368 yards and four touchdowns, the one interception I mentioned before halftime. But, you know, Chris Godwin sets a record with 15 receptions in the game for 143 yards. Rob Gronkowski was great again with two touchdowns. I don't know. I guess they were confident to protect Brady. He wasn't sacked, but they kind of showed that not only are they taking care of business on the road, but they can win a lot of different ways, and I think that's what really good teams do.
Yeah, and a lot of those passes, Rick, were kind of glorified runs if you think about it. There weren't any really deep downfield shots. Chris Godwin was a recipient today, as you said, 15 catches. His longest was 36 yards. Playoff Lenny got involved again. He had seven catches. So, again, there were some shots. The fade pass to Gronk, we've seen that a million times over the last decade plus. It was really beautiful. That 11-yard pass, I believe, is in the third quarter. And he had a shot over the middle to Gronk for the other touchdown. I believe that went for 27 yards. But, it's just efficiency in a different way, I guess you could say. Again, it's just kind of like a glorified running game. You check down or you just go for the short throw, and you let those guys who are athletes just do their thing in space. And just today, this afternoon, Chris Godwin was a recipient of that.
Yeah, he was. And I think that, Godwin's one of those players, he's 25 years old. He's their franchise player. They didn't reach a long-term contract with him. If you look into the future, of course, the NFL just announced they're going to have a lot more money in the salary cap next year. That's certainly going to help the Bucks re-sign some of their players. We're going to have a lot of free agents. But he's an indispensable part of this offense. As much as I love Mike Evans, and I think he's on his way to a Hall of Fame career by now, and somebody you never want to play without, and Mike rarely comes out of games, but Chris Godwin does so much in the run game. Does so much that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, gets the grimy catches, right, and that slot receiver. He's always in the middle of the field. He's getting pinballed, as he said, after he catches the ball. A lot of those tunnel screens and things like that. I think he's, one of their top two or three most valuable players on that side of the ball. And he just reminded everybody of, how he can step up. And he's gonna set the franchise record for receptions, which was held by Keyshawn Johnson since like 2001 of 106. He just shows you that this is a deep team that even without Antonio Brown, between him, Gronk, and Mike Evans, that's really enough for Tom Brady to operate. And Leonard Fournette, of course.
And Leonard Fournette, I was going to throw that in there. There is enough there still for them to make a run. And, you talk about Chris Godwin, just so impressive. And you laid it out, Rick, just the other things he does. And you can say Gronk has rubbed off on him, but Chris Godwin was doing this, making the dirty plays, the blocks, the thankless stuff, that precedes Gronk's arrival here. So, yeah, you talk about indispensable guys, and you've got that nucleus going forward, Godwin, Evans, Gronk, Fournette. I do agree. I think that's enough to get it done, regardless of how the Antonio Brown saga plays out. And let's segue just real quick from the indispensable to the dispensable. You know, look at the tight end output today, Rick. And it wasn't a huge storyline in this game, but Rob Gronkowski, 4 catches, 58 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cameron Brate was targeted once. It was a 3-yard touchdown catch. O.J. Howard, 0 targets.
And the problem, and I've got, and you do too, have one guy that continues to email us, thank you about that, for an O.J. Howard. I don't know if he's an Auburn fan or what the deal is. Look, I mean, a couple things about O.J. Howard. Let's start with the fact that he's playing behind a Hall of Fame tight end who surprises me with the rib injuries he had, with the games he's missed, with the career he's had, the number of surgeries that he not only has come back from that this year, but is now playing like the Rob Gronkowski in New England. I mean, you know, beating guys on fade routes, the blocking that he does. This team is a 2 wide receiver, 1 tight end, 1 running back team. And so when you do play 2 tight ends on those rare occasions, it's not going to be OJ. It's going to be Cam Brate, because I think Tom Brady trusts him and trusts his hands, trusts him as a receiver more than he does OJ, who's more of an all-around tight end. I don't think it means that O.J. Howard's a bad player. Hell, how many teams would he be not only the starter, but maybe even featured as a tight end? He has some of those skills. He's also coming off an Achilles injury that cost him an entire offseason. He didn't do anything football-related until well into training camp, because it took him that long to try to build up that calf muscle and recover from that surgery. So, yeah, he is just another piece that's there if Brate or if Gronkowski were to go down as he has, but it's clear that, you know, Brady's clairvoyance, as you call it, with Rob Gronkowski is just something to behold. I mean, we've seen this from a distance in New England. When you watch it game in and game out, it's really something. I think that Gronkowski has given them a spark at a time in the season where they really needed it, particularly in Indianapolis. You saw it the game before that they won at home. And then today, I mean, he's spitting out 100-yard games now. And if not, like, every time he scores a touchdown, there's usually 2.
And with AB gone, that's the dimension. That's the whole key to them going forward. If you've got Gronk, who does what he does, who can just, you know, make plays and get off blocks at the line of scrimmage and then get open and for those kind of touchdowns, that's the element could carry them, you know, to the Super Bowl again. If all else is equal, if Godwin and Evans and Fournette stay healthy, you know, while we're on the subject of tight ends, you know, this is as good a segue as any. Go over to the other side. Former Gators All-American Kyle Pitts. Pitts, you know, when the Falcons made their little surge in mid-October, they kind of got things in order. Pitts had 2 monster games. He had like 16 catches on 18 targets for 200 something yards over a 2-game stretch. They won them both. He hasn't done that much since, and you're going to have hiccups when you're a rookie. Teams are going to get you on film. They're going to adjust to you, see what you do, and try to take you out of the game. And the Bucs did that today. Kyle had a couple nice little catches in the first half, but he only had 4 catches on the day. None after halftime. So that's a half dozen games now in a row where he's just really had some pretty pedestrian numbers. And that was just one component of a really, what I thought was a really good second half defensive effort.
Yeah. You mentioned, after the game, talking to the players that they did not allow any points. It was 17 points is what they allowed in the first half, 0 in the second half. It helped that the Bucs got surged to a little bit of a lead, made them throw the ball. Kyle Pitts, I think teams, and I know the Bucs did this today, they're not trying to match him up with any linebackers or safeties. They're saying, you're a wide receiver. We've got to put a cover guy. And fortunately, I think the Bucs had one that came back today in Carlton Davis, who is long, who is athletic, and who is fast enough to at least, you know, create some, defense against a guy like Kyle Pitts that is a very tough guy to match up with. So Carlton Davis, his first game back, he ends up picking up a fumble, but they got more injuries to the secondary again. And I'm telling you, I think watching Atlanta run for 101 yards in the first half, which no team has done this year, really in 3 years, I think they really missed Jordan Whitehead. And now they might have Jamel Dean that's hurt as well.
Yeah, I've never seen a unit snake bitten as bad as this cornerback room is. Jamel Dean goes out early in the second half with obviously a concussion. And then we saw it. We're standing in the tunnel waiting for the game to end to do our interviews, Rick. And we saw Sean Murphy Bunting go down just in the waning seconds. And we don't know what his situation is. A play or two later, William Golston goes down with an injury. He's limping out. We saw him limp out. We don't know what his situation is, but you know, on this day, I don't think it'll help them much going forward. But on this day, the veterans came in and they helped salvage things. Pierre Desir came in for Jamel Dean, forced a fumble on his first or second play in the game, and Arian said he made a valid point. He said we can plug in because we have veterans behind these guys. Pierre Desir is a veteran. Andrew Adams played for him in the NFC title game last year. Dee Delaney has played some football. So these guys, they're bringing up from the practice squad and that they're adding to the roster with all these injuries, they're veterans. But I don't know if I'd count on them, you know, over the final five-game stretch and then going into the playoffs. So, you know, hopefully, you know, later today, Monday, we'll get an update on Murphy Bunting and an update on Dean. You know, I'm sure he'll have to go to the protocol, but you know, they're back to one healthy opening night cornerback, and that's Carlton Davis, who had a pretty good game today.
Yeah, and it's certainly been a story to follow all year. I thought that, the Falcons showed a weakness that we haven't seen from the Bucs, and that's run defense. Cordero Patterson ripped off a 39-yard run. I mentioned the 101 yards or so in the first half. They managed to shut it down. I mean, I give them credit for making whatever adjustments, but apparently Todd Bowles got loud at halftime. We talked to Carlton Davis, who said, look, I was getting an IV, but I could hear him scream it at those other guys that this is not our standard. So it seems like every week somebody has some speech, some fire, and then they make the adjustment, and they did play better defense in the second half. There's no question about that.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks, two halftime diatribes at playoff. You wrote about playoff Lenny last week, really giving an impassioned speech at Indianapolis, and the Bucs responded, and they responded to Bowles. You know, that first, you alluded to that first Atlanta touchdown drive, their first drive of the game, they had 63 rushing yards, and Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a force of nature, he had that 39-yard run. So 63 yards just like that right out of the box on the ground, and they had 58 for the rest of the game. So I think they set the edge a little better. I think they got a little more gap sound. Bruce Arians and Domokong Su and those guys just talk about run fits. And it worked. And when everybody's doing their job, you know, playing complimentary football like they love to say, it's going to free you up to do some things. And we saw how it freed up guys like Sue and Vita Vea to get to the quarterback. You know, when they were able to pin their ears back a little bit, the Bucs shut down the run. And then Matt Ryan, 36 years old, who's never known for his mobility, he has to drop back and pass a little bit, and he got sacked five times. Vita had two, Sue had two. So, you know, when all, you know, cylinders were firing, you saw, you know, an ensemble effort. But it started by just making the adjustments in the run game. And, you know, it takes a lot to shut down Cordarrelle Patterson. And after that opening drive, well, really after about the first 20 minutes of the game, the Falcons' run game was non-existent.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And yet they're still part of this defense. I think it's health. I think it's the lack of health, the lack of continuity that still would scare me against a really good team. Matt Ryan, you know where he's going to be. And, in fact, four of the five sacks came from inside. And Domokong Su had two. Vita Vea had two. So guys right at his feet. Next week's a different story. I mean, they play next Sunday the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, who is not only mobile but can make huge plays in the passing game and with his feet when he gets outside the pocket. And teams in the running game, I think, are trying to make those big guys move laterally. They're trying to let the little guys, the corners and the safeties, come up, set the edge, make tackles while tiring out. That's a philosophy that you see a lot in the league, trying to tire out those big defensive linemen, make them substitute, stay on the field, move the chains. And the Falcons were very good on third down. And they even managed to convert a few third and longs, which has been a sort of a problem the last 2 weeks for the Bucs. So there's a lot more that they need to get done on defense that they just simply haven't done. But look, here we are for all their angst, for all the road woes, for all the injuries. This is a football team that's a veteran team. We're into December, and all week long, Bruce Arians talked about December football, guys. It's December football. We have to play well enough to win playoff games in a few weeks. We're not there. But they've started to get that glint a little bit in their eye and play complimentary football. No turnovers except for the egregious pass for the touchdown that we can talk about. I couldn't believe he threw it. I couldn't believe they attempted to go for it. Joey, late in the first half, they're up by 10. And they got the ball at the 8-yard line, and they've run one play and called timeout. There's one timeout left. I don't know where they thought they were going to move the ball to with 22 seconds left, but you talk about, I mean, that was like a Joe Theismann to Jack Squirek-like throw, you know, that resulted in a pick six, and all of a sudden you're in a dogfight with a three-point game. Tom Brady usually doesn't make that throw, and Bruce Arians seemed to have a bigger problem with the call in general.
Yeah, he said it was poor call, poor execution. That was his comment verbatim, poor call, poor execution. I think it was kind of a lazy throw by Tom, to be quite honest with you. And for that split second, the planets aligned for Marlon Davidson, the Falcons' big guy, who's second-year guy out of Auburn, who has not had a very sparkling pro career so far. But, you know, he sniffed it out. He was there. And, again, I think it was a lazy throw by Tom. Fournette had his helmet turned to the play. He was expecting it. It's not like he caught, you know, Fournette off guard. He was expecting the little swing pass, and Marlon Davidson was right there, and all of a sudden it's 20-17, and going into the locker room, and the Falcons took the opening kickoff for the second half. And I think a big key to that game was them shutting Atlanta down, the opening drive of the second half, kind of quashing that momentum. Otherwise, you know, who knows, you know, what the trajectory of this game would have taken. But, yeah, just, I mean, Tom Brady's human. And we saw it right there late in the second half. Sometimes I wonder, but he is still human. I think it was just a lazy throw.
Yeah, I think so, too. And you know, probably a bad decision to try to make something out of nothing in that situation. I think maybe Bruce Arians will even be a little more conservative with his no risk it, no biscuit at the 8-yard line with 22 seconds and one timeout left. All right, so look, this team loves to play at home. The Buffalo Bills have sort of had a teeter-totter type season. They were picked to win the AFC. They were in the AFC Championship a year ago. The AFC is suddenly controlled by the Patriots, and as we do this podcast, that is going to be the Monday night game, I believe, tonight against those two teams, so we'll see how that turns out. That actually works in the Bucs' favor. The Bills have to play a Monday night game, short week of preparation, and then travel to Tampa Bay. But this is a step up in class in a sense, right? Because this is a playoff team. This is a conference championship team with an elite quarterback and some elite receivers, a good defense, a good coaching staff. And yet, if the Bucs win and get a little bit of help from the Falcons or a little bit of help from the Jets and those two things align, if they win the game, they could clinch an NFC South title with still a bunch of games to play and assure themselves of a home playoff game. That's critical. At 9-3, they're still very much in the hunt for the top seed. That's possible as well. So there's a lot riding on the line, but these next two games, both at Raymond James, where they haven't lost in over a year, you know, against the Bills and then the Saints, to me, this is going to tell us whether this Bucs team has a chance to be as good as last year's.
Yeah, this is critical. Like you said, the Bills and then the Saints on Sunday night. I think, you know, if the weather report holds out, a little benefit for the Bucs, I think it's going to be a little warmer next week. Yes. Against this team from Buffalo. And you mentioned it, you know, the Bills have to play not only a Monday night game, but a physical Monday night game. So they'll come down here on a short week. And when is the last time we've ever said The Bucks have a four-game lead in the first week of December in their division. How about never? So 9-3 can become 10-3 in just a week's time, and you know this is unprecedented. We're in unprecedented terrain, Rick. 10-3, a chance to close out your division well before Christmas. How about that?
That's pretty amazing. And yet, because of what Green Bay is doing, because of their division not being one that's really going to threaten the Packers, the Cardinals continue to win. Kyler Murray came back. They won again on Sunday. So they're still trailing a couple of teams for the number one seed. They could have to go on the road at least for a championship game right now. They don't have the top seed, so they have to keep winning. You may have to win 14 games, 13 games for sure, to secure that number one seed. And, you know, we don't know how that's all going to play out. So these next 2 weeks are going to be huge. Before we go, we have just a few minutes. We're going to cut this a little bit short. But we watched a lot of college football on Saturday. And I just wanted to ask you about a conference that you're well familiar with. The American Athletic gets a team in Cincinnati, you know, to make the Final Four, to make the championship. Undefeated team, and one that looked for all the world like they might be supplanted if certain things didn't align right. But here they are. They beat a pretty good Houston team, beat them fairly handily. And what does that say about the American Athletic Conference? How big is this? There was once a team in Central Florida that claimed itself a national champion. Now they don't have to wonder whether Cincinnati can actually pull this off.
Yeah, I think it's very validating for the American Athletic Conference. I'm happy for Cincinnati. I'm happy for the commissioner, Mike Oresko, who has trumpeted his conference as kind of the sixth power conference, and we can debate about that till the cows come home. But it is validating, and the biggest thing about it is Cincinnati deserves this. They're undefeated. They've got that win against Notre Dame. They beat Houston, a one-loss Houston team, handily on Saturday in the conference title game. They've got a veteran team, a talented team. They every bit deserve to be in this playoff conversation, and it makes things a little more interesting this January. And, you know, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say we kind of ridicule that 2017 UCF team for proclaiming itself as a national champion, but they set the groundwork for this. They got people. They got the nation's attention. Hey, look at this Group of Five conference. Look at this team coming from somewhere called the American Athletic Conference. They set the precedent here, because you remember 4 years ago, they were clamoring for, you know, to get into that playoff. And I think they had a legitimate case. And I think that UCF team beats this Cincinnati team. I think Mackenzie Milton was incredible that year. And they had Shaquem Griffin on defense, who just willed his team to a couple of wins. I really like that UCF team, but they kind of set the groundwork for what we're seeing this year. And that's Cincinnati getting to the playoff table.
Although Cincinnati at the time, or recently, had a defensive coordinator that shut down that Central Florida team. Not long after that, he's now the head coach at Notre Dame. Isn't that something? What a story that Marcus Freeman, right? Which has been something. All right. Well, we're gonna leave the confines here of Mercedes-Benz Stadium because they're chasing us out. I think we're literally the only two ones here. We'll have a lot for you tomorrow with Bruce Arians when he does his press conference around 12:30. Check us out on TampaBay.com. And the Tampa Bay Times, of course, for all the coverage of the game and everything else that's going on with the Bucks. For Joey Knight, Steve Versnick, our producer, Emmerich Stroud, the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great night, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.